In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. As always, it is a great joy to be with you today. And today we're continuing our series called God's Blueprint for a Happy Life, right? So how do we find happiness in life? Well, we can't find happiness until we first have joy. So we talk about getting how do we have the joy in the Lord so that we can have a life of true happiness. And we're looking at that through the lens of the Ten Commandments and God's relationship with us through the 10 words of God in Exodus chapter 20 and also in Deuteronomy as well, which you know, Jesus breaks down into two groups: love God and love your neighbor as yourself. All right. And so we're taking a look at the third commandment about the day of rest. Right? How important is that for us in our culture today, to take time to rest in the Lord, to rest in His Word, to not just rest our bodies, but also as Jesus, I mean, as God did, you know, in the beginning, rested on the seventh day, you know, and then we have the day of, what the Jews celebrate, the Sabbath day. We as Catholics don't have a Sabbath day anymore. We celebrate the Lord's Day, which is the Sunday. So we'll talk all about that today. God's Blueprint for a Happy Life, continuing our series on how we attain the joy so we can have a life of true happiness. Of course, would love for you to be part of the program today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And as we continue our journey in building a life of happiness, because that's all of us want, right? We want to be somebody. Sometimes you hear people say, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. But what does that mean, though? I mean, what ultimately is going to bring you happiness? Is it money? Is it popularity, fame? Yeah, it may make you happy for a while, but it won't last. It's fleeting. Why? Because you have to build on a foundation of joy in your life in order to have a life of happiness. See, happiness is external. So the things that are around me, the external stimuli that I'm interacting with on a daily basis, those things help to, those things may or may not make me happy, right? May reflect my, my emotional outlook. Whereas joy comes from the inside. So happiness is exterior, joy is interior. So when you have the joy, and that joy comes from the Lord, that joy comes from fostering a deep, intimate, personal, loving relationship with the living God. And it's from that core, from that heart, from that center that exudes out of us, that spills into the world, that that leads us to a life of happiness. Now, remember, just because you're joyful doesn't mean you're always going to be happy, right? Because happiness doesn't mean, you know, making you feel good. Happiness is an extension of joy, but joy may not always mean you're going to be happy, but you will always be joy-filled. Why? Because you're doing God's will. You're fulfilling God's will in your life. And that is something that should that exudes happiness in life. That is something that we should work to pursue every single day of our lives, right? And so we're looking at that journey, God's blueprint for a happy life, looking at it through the lens of the commandments. And again, today we're taking a look at the day of rest and what does that look like for us and why is it important? And that's the day that we, in a sense, give back to God. I mean, every day is a day we give ourselves to God. But in particular way, we say thank you to Him for everything He's given us during Sunday. And that also includes, of course, going to Mass. You know, so then why do I have to go to Mass? Why can't I worship God any way that I want? You know, we'll talk about that as well, because God tells us how He wants to be worshiped. Right. And so going to Mass is just basically saying thank you for everything that God has given us. In fact, Mass is more for us even than for God. Just like with a spouse, you know, when a spouse does something wonderful for you, you say thank you. And but it's just more than just saying thank you, isn't it? You don't you get them a gift or take them out somewhere special, and you know, you do things for people who make you happy. And going to mass is the way we say thank you. Why? Because God is feeding us. We're being fed by the word, and we're being fed by his body, blood, soul, divinity in the Eucharist. So we go to say thank you to God, and God gives us life back in his word and in his sacrament so we can continue to be who God created us to be in this world. That's what we're talking about today. God's blueprint for a happy life, looking at it through the lens of the day of rest. And of course, would love to hear from you. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com. And, you know, we got some incredible pilgrimage opportunities to travel with me to some incredible pilgrimage sites next year, along with the friars from EWTN who will be serving as chaplains on these pilgrimage experiences. Again, would love, love, love to have you join us. They're going to be incredible. They're going to be deeply impactful, and in some cases, it may be life-changing. I've seen that on pilgrimages where people just—I mean, they're crying. They're saying, you know, I'm receiving so much healing right now, you know, on this journey of faith. And would love for you to join us. Go to my website, deaconharold.com. Click on the pilgrimages tab, or just scroll down and click on Harvest Journeys. That huge banner that says Harvest Journeys. You get all the information to travel with me next year to Guadalupe, Mexico, and to Ireland, and to Japan, and also to Italy for Eucharistic Miracles of Italy. All the details are there. Would love to have you join us. And again, you know, we've talked about this occasionally on the show that, you know, Ace and I are thinking about doing a pilgrimage together, kind of a Beacon of Truth themed pilgrimage, you know, where we look at holy sites and faith sites, of course. You know, but also look at music and opening some of the themes of our show, and you know, incorporating that into the pilgrimage experience. You know, so you can get a flavor of Beacon of Truth as we've, and hopefully that would be the Holy Land. You know, so we got to continue for that the Holy Spirit will give a spirit of peace, you know, to the folks there, so that the land can be opened up for us to go back and visit the incredible sites and follow the footsteps of Jesus, to be in the places where Jesus lived and worked and taught and died and rose, you know. So I'm looking forward to that, you know, to travel there, especially to travel with Ace, you know. So what do you think, Ace?
I'm down. And I got to thinking as we plan our trips that while we have Beacon of Truth playlist editions where we break open songs and talk about them, we could create a pilgrimage playlist that we could all listen to while we're, you know, on the journey. And, you know, it kind of enhances, you know, it's like, you know, little sprinkles on the savory moments of the pilgrimage just to enhance that experience too, you know.
Oh, I love that. That would be great. I mean, all the pilgrimage experiences, of course, we have songs, right? We're singing, you know, and stuff like that at mass and stuff like that. But to add another dimension to it, you know, I think that'd be absolutely awesome. You know, like every day there's maybe a theme song for the place that we're visiting. You know, like when you're on Jesus on tour, we're going to these holy sites, but then there's a kind of a theme song for each of the sites. So that'd be awesome.
Well, and I know, like, if you visit like Graceland, like you get they give you this iPad with, you know, earphones, and you can hear John Stamos narrating each of the rooms as you go through, and then it's underlined with all the big songs that, you know, Elvis wrote this, or, you know, performed this song in this room, or, you know, this is a little piece of, you know, him at the piano with, you know, all of his Jordanaires. And so you feel like you're in the room with Elvis, like they make it come alive. So I'm like, we could just take that same mindset and be creative on our pilgrimage and create that same experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be definitely down for that. That would be a lot of fun. And some people may be like, "Well, wait a minute, John Stamos, why him?" You know, he's you know, because obviously people know him from his television roles, but he is also quite an excellent drummer. He's the drummer for the Beach Boys. I don't think a lot of people realize that. He's actually a pretty decent drummer.
Yeah, and him, you know, and incorporating the Beach Boys into Full House over the years, like, I think people started to kind of see that, but you never know how much of that is TV and how much of it is real, but he's a musician first and then just became an actor, so a lot of times that happens. So then they'd like, hey, you know, I play an instrument too. Well, how can we bring that into the show? Like, that's, you know, it's kind of like this show, right?
Yeah, yes, yeah, I love that. Yeah, because I saw him on, I didn't realize the level of his musicianship, so I saw him on Drumeo.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, wait, what? That guy can play.
Yeah.
All right. God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. We're continuing our series looking at how we have the joy within us so we can have a life of happiness. Today, we're looking at the day of rest as we look go through the commandments. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com.
That's like when you walk in somewhere and it's quiet and everybody's just kind of talking and then that starts and it's like, got my attention.
Yeah, I love that. Very punchy. That's the way I kind of would describe that. That is so cool. Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
That's like Stevie Wonder's horn section there.
Yeah, I can see myself like walking out, like, you know, like a late night show kind of theme thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Here's Deacon.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be hilarious.
We're going to create an intro for you. That's like, hey, this is his sanctioned intro music and announcer all in one.
Yeah, so when I walk out for a speaking engagement, that music starts playing. Oh, that would be hilarious. That'd be fun.
We can make that happen.
Yeah. I'm Deacon Harold Brick-Simmons, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're continuing our series called God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. And in this little mini-series, we're taking a look at how we find the joy within our lives, so that comes from within, from a fostering a deep, intimate relationship with the Lord, so we can have a life of happiness. And today, we're looking at this by going through the commandments. And today, we're looking at the third commandment, which is keeping holy the Sabbath day or the day of rest. How do we find joy that leads to a life of happiness through this day of rest? That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email. beacon@ewtn.com.
And of course, as we get deeper into our walk with God, there will, of course, that involves the Eucharist. So how do we better understand it? Not only what God's word says and how we implement it, but also how we experience it each and every Mass. Find out with a free ebook. It's called The 12 Stations of the Most Holy Eucharist, available online at ewtn.com/Catholicism. You can get yours today.
All right, my friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take the psalms that we hear in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, that we pray during the Liturgy of the Hours, and even if there's some musical artists who have taken the psalms and have written music to them and created songs based on the psalms. We hear that in a lot of praise and worship type of music, particularly like Psalm 23. You know, the famous one, the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. And so what we're doing on this segment of the show, we're taking these psalms that we're somewhat familiar with, that we hear at Mass, and we're connecting them to your everyday lived experience. And again, my hope is that when you go to Mass and you hear these psalms, that you're experiencing a deeper love of God, that you're really experiencing God's word in a way that connects more intimately to your life, so that they're not just, okay, we're going to sing this refrain and, okay, let's go on to the next reading. No, that we're really encountering the living God through his word and through the Psalms. Well, today we're continuing our look at Psalm 71. That's in book two of the Psalms, which is Psalms 42 to 72. And so Psalms 52 No, 51 to 72 are written by David. So Psalms 42 to 49, Sons of Korah. Psalm 50 is Asaph. 51 to 72 are David. So this psalm doesn't have a prescript or a superscript. And this is a fairly long psalm. It's about 24 verses long. And we're going to dive in at verse 19. Actually, we're going to look a little bit before that because verse 19 is actually in the middle of a verse, right? So we're going to go back and look at a couple of verses before. But the way David starts this psalm off, "In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me. Free me. Incline your ear to me and save me." So that's how David started off this psalm. Again, I love this psalm. I love the way David starts off a lot of his psalms here. Seeking the Lord's help to for refuge, for shelter, that with you, Lord, on my side, I will not be put to shame. Even though people are trying to malign me and harm me and embarrass me, I will not be put to shame because you're by my side, Lord. I love that. And so we're going to dive in here at verse, well, again, 19 is in the middle of a sentence. So we'll go back up to verse 18. "Even till I am old and gray-headed, do not forsake me, O God." So I'm thinking about that myself. You know, as I get older, you know, my hair is turning, well, if I had hair, trust me, when I cut it, it's gray, my friends. So is my beard, too. But that's why I keep them nice and trimmed. Not because I'm embarrassed of the hair. It's just, I just like the bald feel. But still, even if I'm old and gray-headed, do not forsake me, O God. Let me tell of your mighty arm to every coming generation. So the faith is not something we keep to ourselves. The faith is to be passed on, you know, to our children and our grandchildren. So those of you who are parents and grandparents, you still have an important, an impactful way of affecting your children by your witness of how you live your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the way they really learn. I mean, yes, we could teach them their prayers. We can go to Mass with them. And that's important as well. Absolutely. But what's going to stay with them in their hearts is how we live our Catholic faith. Not just pay lip service to it, but actually live it out so they can see, wait a minute, Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa, they're not just saying these things. They're actually living it. I can see how living this faith is impacting their life, you know, and how do I do that? How do I appropriate this faith and make it my own? That's the kind of way we need to be teaching young people and sharing our experience of God's love in our lives with them, right? So this is something that, again, we pass on to them, and they, God willing, pass on to their children all the way down to the generations. This is what David did in 1 Kings chapter 2. When he's dying and he tells Solomon that to trust in the Lord. And if you do this, you will not fail. And if your sons and their sons follow the ways of the Lord, there will not fail you a man on the throne of Israel, that you will be successful, you know, if you just keep in the ways of the Lord. And so we need to model this behavior, of course, for our children, but also for the culture as well. You know, it's important to be that witness. All right. Now we get to the verse, "Your strength and your justice, O God, reach to the highest heavens." Right. So God's strength permeates every level of our life. You know, every aspect is touched somehow by God's loving hand. Right. It talks about the highest heavens. So, again, you look at Jewish cosmology, we talk about the heavens, right? So we have the first heavens, which is the sky with the clouds, and then we have the second heaven, which is the outer space, the moon and the sun and the other stars. And then we have the third heaven, which is the highest heaven, which is the place where God dwells, right? Our heavenly home. You know, so we talk about the different levels of heaven. And there's not in any of those realms where God does not touch us, where God does not affect us, where God does not open himself deeply to giving us his love and his mercy. And so your God's strength and justice permeates every aspect of our lives. It is you who have worked such wonders. Oh God, who is like you? Right? So we have to acknowledge that all of this comes from God, right? Everything that we experience comes from this interaction with God, and that he is the one that works the wonders. Now, we can get lost in thinking because I am creative, I have a particular talent or skill set, that I am the one who's the one who's generating all this great stuff. No, we have to acknowledge, as David says here, that all this comes from God. God, who is like you? You know, he's asking a rhetorical question. Of course, no one's like God, but he's saying here, God, look at all, everything you have done in my life. Look at all the marvels. God, what he's really saying, there's no one like you, Lord. There's no one like the God. And so when we witness to that, we bear witness to that in how we share our faith with others.
Yeah, and if we really adopt the frame of mind of that everything belongs to God, everything comes from God, then we realize we don't get the opportunity to be full of ourselves because we've accomplished something or there's something on the surface that looks like, wow, look at you. But it's like, no, look at God. Because again, when we misuse those gifts, he can easily take those away or diminish them. I mean, or close opportunities. Well, you know, you kind of got big headed, so I wasn't going to take you in this direction because then you would have thought it was you when it's been me this whole time.
Yeah, we have to be responsible for the gifts we've been given. And you're right. That's a good point. Because remember with Gideon, right, where in, I think it's the book of Judges in Gideon, where God calls Gideon to fight. And Gideon said, well, I'm just, I'm the least of the least. He's in the tribe of Benjamin, and he's the least within that small tribe. But he goes, nope, the Lord wants to use you. So he went with like 30,000. He goes, that's too many. Then 3,000. Oh, that's too many. Then 300. He says, wait a minute, 300 against 30,000? But he was stripping them away to show that the victory comes from God, not from you.
Yeah.
So the point that you just made is very biblical and something that we all should take solace in.
Yeah, and we oftentimes hold ourselves back because we think that the reason you have a gift or the reason that you have an opportunity is because of you. When if we say, Lord, take this talent as far as it can go, or take this opportunity as far as it can go and get out of his way, then you're like, wow, I didn't realize I could get good at that, or I didn't realize these doors would fly open just by stop making it about me.
Yeah, that's it. It cannot be about, and that's where I think even people that serve in the church can get lost. You know, because they're used to the accolades and people saying how awesome they are. Even when you're talking about the faith,
right?
You know, but remember, it's like the image in Revelation 12 where Mary is standing on the moon. The moon is under her feet. The moon is there because it's not the source of light; it just reflects the light. And Mary is the one who reflects Jesus. She's not God, but she reflects God. And the same thing is true for us. We're supposed to be reflecting the love of God. That's part of what it means to be made in God's image in Genesis 1:27. We're supposed to be reflecting God's life like a mirror, you know, so we're not the source. Yeah. We're reflecting that source. And we have to remember that, or else arrogance and pride can take over and we become full of ourselves and we forget who's the true source of our strength. And David says that too. He says, you have made me witness many troubles and evils, but you will give me back my life. I love that. Lord, you will give me back my life. Why? Because my life belongs to you, Lord. So everything that I'm doing in my life is a gift from God. All right. God's Blueprint for a Happy Life on Beacon of Truth. We continue our series looking at how God is loving us. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Not the holidays yet, but always a use for a handbell.
Yeah, that's right. Is that a tambourine in there too?
I can't tell if it's a tambourine or sleigh bells. Like, there's this fine line.
Oh, wait. No, I think you're right. I think it is sleigh bells. Yeah.
And the clouds got me.
Yeah. No, those are sleigh bells. Yeah, that's definitely a sleigh bell. Yeah, tambourine has a different timbre.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that is so cool.
Music is always festive.
Yes, it's funny when I listen to songs now. When I was younger, my ear immediately went to the guitar, mm-hmm. but now I'm listening more for bass.
Yeah,
the bass and drums kind of more the backbeat now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where my ear goes first. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. That's awesome. Very cool. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Simmons, listening to Beacon of Truth, and today we're continuing our little mini-series called God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. How can we foster a deep, intimate relationship with the Lord through joy that leads to a life of happiness? And we're looking at that through the lens of the Ten Commandments. Today we're focusing on the day of rest, commandment number 3. And so I would love to hear from you today. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Well, one of my favorite podcasts on Podcast Central is called Two Become Family, where you literally walk through the adventures of Renzo and Monica as they're going through their marriage, through their faith, as they're becoming parents and going on trips together and really experiencing that as one. Of course, Two Become Family. How do we do that? We put God at the center, and they are talking about it. So check it out. Podcast Central is easy to find when you go to ewtn.com/podcast or subscribe to Two Become Family wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, my friends, Beacon of Truth today, we're continuing our series, God's Blueprint for a Happy Life. How do we find the joy, the inner joy that leads to an exterior life of happiness? Remembering well that just because you're joyful doesn't mean you're always going to be happy, but you will always be joy-filled. Why? Because we're following God's will in our life. And one of the things that's part of God's will is keeping holy the Lord's Day or the Sabbath day. Now, for us as Catholics and as Christians, believers in Christ, we no longer celebrate a Sabbath, right? Now, the word has not changed in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, of course. But for us, the Sabbath day has become the Lord's Day, right? Or the eighth day, right? Or Sunday. Or the first day of the week. That phrase is used in different ways in the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles to describe the day that they came together and celebrated. In paragraph 1345 of the Catechism, St. Justin Martyr's a partial letter there, where he says, on the day we call the day of the sun, those gather all in the same place. So he's talking about Sunday. Again, the eighth day, the first day of the week, as it's called in Acts of the Apostles. The Lord's Day, as it's called by the Church Fathers. That's the day that we celebrate. And again, remembering also the day of rest, or the seventh day God rested, right? So this is a time for us to refresh the soul and to contemplate things that are divine. So during the week, yes, we're focused on our job and the things we need to do for our families and schedules and pickups and responsibilities at work and all the other things that occupy us. For me, it's about, you know, flights and organizing that, getting my talks together and homilies and all the things that I need to do to get ready. Although for me, I am praying all throughout the day and every day, and prayer is woven into my life. But still, and I do try to get to Mass when I can. I can't get there every day because of my schedule. But and that's one of the things why I love traveling. When I go to parishes, I usually either serve or preach at daily Mass, you know, which is a great gift. But we have to take a day. Look, we see this many times. Jesus goes off by himself and prays. He goes up to the mountain to pray. Right, we have to find time just to contemplate the things of God. And in the busyness of our lives, we need to find that space. And that's what the day of rest, the Sunday, is about. So we relax and refresh our minds. We go and do something fun. We go and do something entertaining. And we also, in the midst of all that, reconsecrate ourselves to God, right? We consecrate ourselves to God. We withdraw from the ordinariness of life to start thinking about God. So what does that mean? No unnecessary work, right? Now, of course, there are exceptions to that. If you're a fireman or a police officer, or if you're a physician or a nurse, or a job that requires your health care provider or working in hospice care, obviously those are, and jobs like those require 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, around the clock kind of staffing. And so you just, you know, you so you, some people have to work on Sunday. There's just no getting around it. So there are exceptions to, again, it's unnecessary work. Unnecessary. Those jobs that I just described, those are necessary. So what we're supposed to take a rest from and not do is unnecessary kinds of work. All right. That also includes mass, going to mass and retreats, pilgrimages. We also are different ways we can take breaks and think about God. Also, the day of rest is also another a day to really think about avoiding sin. Also, no trivial kind of pursuits. We're really as we rest our minds, we focus on the things of the Lord. Maybe that's a day that you do a family rosary. Maybe you can only do a rosary once a week. Maybe the kids or grandkids are over. That could be a time for a family rosary on Sunday, where everybody, for 20 to 30 minutes as you're praying the rosary, where they're really thinking about reflecting about what this day of Sunday is all about. It's a Sunday's a day of devotion, where we give ourselves wholly to the service of God. Again, we go to Mass where we're fed and nourished by God, and we give ourselves to God in return. The culmination or the high point of the Mass is receiving our Lord in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, because there's God at the altar. He's giving himself to us in word and in sacrament, and then we walk forward to receive our Lord Jesus. And what are we saying by that action of walking forward? I love you, Lord. I love you more than anyone or anything in this world. I love you so much. I want you to create your life in me. That's what we're saying every time we go to receive Jesus. So there's this covenant relationship, this exchange of love, life, intimacy, and communion. And that's why we go to Mass. That's why we go. Yes, we go for God and for us. It's that relationship. And just like we talked about earlier, when you do, in you're in a relationship, we do something nice for the person you love because you love them. We go to Mass to show our love for God. And then God shows his love for us by giving us life, literally giving us his life at Mass. And some people, I don't see what's important about going to Mass. I could worship God any way that I want. But God tells us how he wants to be worshiped. God tells us. He says, take this, all of you, eat it. This is my body. He tells us how he wants to be worshiped. And worship always involves sacrifice. In order for it to be true worship, there must be sacrifice, which is part of the worship, which is why we call it the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is part of our worship in that sacrifice. And that's why we don't worship Mary. Our devotion to Mary does not include sacrifice. So therefore, it's not worship. We don't worship Mary. We only worship the living God, right? So that's important to understand that. And so Sunday and the day of rest is also a time for consecration to God. Adoration and sacrifice, reverence is due to God alone. It's a reminder how we offer our lives to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, offering to God our spiritual worship. So that's extremely important. And so this day of rest is also hallowed or holy. It's a reminder of, like, again, the Israelites celebrated the Sabbath day to remind them of how God freed them from slavery in Egypt. You know, and so it's also a reminder of us how God saved us from slavery to sin and death by what he did for us on the cross. Just to take a day just to reflect on that. We go to Mass to reflect on that as a reminder of how much God loves us, right? And that he loves us so much that he gave his life for us. And to spend an hour a week, come on, an hour a week, that's, come on, that's not a heavy lift. You know, everything, just think about your life, everything that God has given you and all he asks for in return is an hour of his time, an hour to be with the Lord, 168 hours in a week, one to give back to the Lord. And again, not just giving back to the Lord, and God is, he's literally giving us his life in that exchange as well. Absolutely beautiful. So the Sabbath day is also a reminder of God's irrevocable covenant, right? God's covenant that said that, you know, covenant that he made with us, the covenant that will never go away, that will be here until Jesus comes back at the end of time. And so when God established the covenant in Genesis, right, the first covenant with Adam, the Adamic covenant, what did he do? He rested, right? And that's really the biblical foundation for the day of rest, following God's lead in resting on that seventh day. You know, sometimes Jesus was accused of breaking the law of the Sabbath, right? You know, they're walking along, they're picking like the heads off the grains of wheat and eating them, you know. And of course, when they try to call him out on this little thing that Jesus was doing, that, you know, Jesus never failed to respect the holiness of what the day was about. And he reminded the Pharisees that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, right? So the Sabbath day is a day of the Lord, of mercies, and to honor God. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath, right? Important things to remember there. And also as a reminder of resurrection, you know, that we are all will be called to new life in Christ, that at the end of, you know, God willing, at the end of the world, right? So when we die, we're going to be separated from our bodies. You know, our body's going to go into the ground, and then our soul will go either into purgatory or in directly to heaven. Most likely, most of us will have to make a pit stop in purgatory first, right? We have to wipe our feet before on the mat before we get into the house, you know, so we don't track dirt into the house, right? So that's what purgatory is, kind of that cleansing mat of the power of God's spirit that burns away all those desires that separate us from God so we can enter heaven pure, with pure thoughts and with pure hearts and with a pure soul. And then when the day of resurrection comes, we'll be reunited with our bodies. We'll receive new bodies, just like Mary did. You know, that's the thing with her assumption. You know, we shouldn't have a hard time with that. All we're saying is Mary, we're going to get the same thing as Mary did. We just have to wait till the end of the world. Mary got her reward at the moment of her death. You know, she was body and soul into heaven, and we'll get new bodies, new resurrected bodies. We reunited with our souls at the end of the world. And so this is also a reminder Sunday of the day of resurrection, right? That we are called to new life in Christ, and we're called to share that life with others, not keep it to ourselves, right? So that's really important to understand why Sunday is important. Now, remember I mentioned before that Sunday is distinguished from the Sabbath. We no longer celebrate a Sabbath day as Catholics. We celebrate the Lord's Day, right? So the Sabbath is still celebrated by our Jewish brothers and sisters, but we celebrate the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. So Sunday, and because of Christ's Passover, Sunday fulfills the spiritual identity or spiritual truth of the Jewish Sabbath, and announces that our eternal rest is in God, right? So that's what the Sunday is a reminder of, this day of rest. So it's the also the Sunday is really, in a sense, the heart of our the heart of the church's life. You know, Sunday is passed on to us by the apostles. We see this in many places where they celebrate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for example, we see St. Paul, where they celebrated the liturgy in people's houses, you know, because it was illegal to, they didn't have any churches. It was illegal to be a Christian. And so they celebrated either in the catacombs or in people's homes in the early church. But it was still, they gathered, they shared the word, and then through the consecration, they shared the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus, you know. And so this day of rest is just a day to contemplate all of that, which is why, for example, I like, you know, the fact that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday, right? That I think that's in our culture today. Some people criticize that, you know, but no, but I think that's a wonderful sign of, in a contemporary way, of the importance of Sunday, that day of rest, right? And so you can even make a spiritual thing out of that with Chick-fil-A being closed. Man, Chick-fil-A, oh man, I really wanted Chick-fil-A today. Ah, that's right, it's Sunday. Well, maybe that is a reminder of what Sunday is supposed to be about, right? Is what's and that's what we're extrapolating here, and it's this that helps us to build that interior joy when we rest our minds and think about the things that are eternal, not just that we think about the things of the world Monday through Saturday. And we need to have a day. If we don't have much time during the week, God understands that. But there's also a time we think about the things of God, that everything we're doing is leading us towards someplace. It's not just leading us toward more money, is but no, it's leading us toward heaven. And so we need to take time and even to contemplate, okay, what is my week going to look like now? You know, how is God going to come into my life this week? How can I make this week and a greater gift to God through the work that He's given me to do?
Yeah, and as we think of it from that perspective, I saw a quote last week that said, "We're not conditioned for happiness, we are conditioned for survival." And I thought, okay, well, first of all, that does remove the pressure to be happy, but the only way to survive is to choose joy in moments that are out of our control or things that are happening that we don't want to deal with. But we're thankful to have the opportunity, to have the strength, to have the resources, to have the surroundings, the community, all the church, all the things in order to be able to lean more into God so that we can find joy in those moments that aren't very naturally joyful. It's just a, well, I got to get through this. So you're in survival mode and you don't give yourself the place to sit in the joy of it.
Yeah, and it's hard to see that joy when you're in survival mode, you know. I often think of young moms, right, trying to figure it out with their kids, and you know, they're the kid's down for a nap, and so mom is trying to catch a few winks herself, and but then, you know, another kid comes home from school, or another kid needs something, and there's dinner and all these kinds of things that are happening. And sometimes, you know, you get frazzled, you know, and how do you, and you get a little bit stressed. Well, and you're right, choosing joy in those moments, you know, realizing that I feel a little bit overwhelmed right now, Lord, but that you are the Lord of my life. And if I allow you to come into this space and share this experience of being overwhelmed with me, this will give me the joy that I need to get through it.
Well, and that's where for me, because my wife and I have this talk often about when we're in those moments that where anxiety takes over, I know in my head how I should apply my faith or how I should lean into God, but I can't seem to get my heart and my emotions to line up with that. And that's where I'm like, but that's where the hope comes in. It's in the Lord. I don't know what you're going to do in this, but I clearly cannot do any more than I'm already doing. And if I am not doing my full potential, show me what that needs to look like, or if I need to pull back in order to make room for the thing that you need me to put my attention into, that to me, that's, I would much rather live in a hopeful situation than to be overwhelmed with the anxiety of that, well, I can't believe I have to deal with this. How about the, I get to deal with this because God is making me strong enough so the next time that this anxiety tries to take over my life, I know how to condition my heart and emotions to give and lean into Him.
Yeah, and you know, as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, there's also a good opportunity for us to remember how good we have it.
Mm.
You know, even in the midst of, and think about it, as you're reflecting on the things that you're going through, there are other people that have it much worse. There are people that are homeless out there.
Yeah,
there are people that are in the hospital or in prison, or in a mental institution, or they're suffering these great things. And maybe, you know, yes, I'm going through this right now, but you know what? Maybe I can use this opportunity, not just to pray for them, but maybe go visit someone in a hospital. Maybe go to that homeless shelter and help out, you know, on this day of rest, you know, and maybe doing something active like that is a way of also contemplating the deeper realities of life. And acknowledging that God, yes, my troubles right now are minuscule compared to what my brothers and sisters are going through. And maybe I can use this opportunity on this day of rest as I'm contemplating your will, as I'm contemplating your love in my life, as I'm thinking about the spiritual nature of things, how I'm connecting my life more deeply with yours through the Eucharist that you're giving me in the Mass, that I can go forward and be a witness of your love to others in a very real and tangible way. I think that's powerful.
Well, and I think too, again, we've said this a lot, but it always bears repeating of that when we're going through the same situations that someone else of no faith and no dependence on God is going through, and they watch how you go through it with a peaceful headspace or with just a hopeful heart or a giddiness or whatever. Well, you know, who knows what God's going to do? I mean, that's playful in a very serious situation, but at the same time, if we are frazzled just as much as a non-believer, then we're not really showing how God is helping us through that situation. But to be able, as we've talked about before, reflecting Christ from our own hearts into the situation, then that reflects Christ into someone else's life who's dealing with the same stuff or may at one point deal with it. And they're like, I'm going to handle it the way you did it because I'd much rather be at peace and watch God work than to be frazzled and know that I'm exhausted at the end of it because I got all razzled up for nothing.
Yeah, and that's particularly true in situations that you have no control over.
Right.
Right? I mean, where you really have to put all your trust in God. I mean, there's many times that that I've been flying and there's some kind of delay and so many people that get upset and angry, and I get it.
Yeah.
I depend on the airlines to get me to where I'm going on time because there's a schedule and I need to be at a certain place. But sometimes things just happen that are completely out of your control and there's nothing you can do. So the way you can react to it is like many people. And I used to react this way too. Just get angry, complain, be stressed about the whole thing. Or as I do now, because I have much more peace, because I'm allowing God. So you know what? I can't control the plane. I can't control the airlines. I can't control whatever is causing this delay. You know what? I'm just going to just chill. I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to take out my Bible and read some verses. And maybe take out. I was traveling with a spiritual book. When I'm actually I'm reading the Gospel of Matthew right now.
Yeah.
So I always bring something with me to, and I just don't worry about it. I'll get there when I get there, you know, God has a plan. God knows what's going on. God's in control. Nothing I can do. So, I just have a peace about it.
Yeah. Because who's inconvenienced in that moment, God or you?
Yeah. Yep. That's
and,
right.
And I say that out loud because I'm just as guilty, right? I'm just like, well, it's like my agenda. It's like, what's God's agenda? Well, let's just relax. You know, we'll get there. I'd rather get there and get there safely than to be rattled. Well, we got to go now because, you know, Ace is ready to go. The plane's not ready to go. Oh, okay. My bad.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so, yeah, let's really reflect on, the things that Ace and I were reflecting on today really using Sunday as a day to pursue joy, so that we can have the happiness that God wants for us. Uniting ourselves more deeply with God in word and sacrament at Mass, so we can be those witnesses to the world. To not stress about what's going on around us, but to trust in God's providence and God's love and God's mercy. All right, we'll continue this series again a little bit down the road. In the meantime, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. Until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.